Hello, this is Jeff Gattiosi, and you're on MisplacedDraws.com, where music comes to life. And in the late 80s, the attention of the rock world was on Los Angeles, but that's when a band from Illinois took their shot. Enough's Enough burst on the scene with their classic debut record and its incredible follow-up strength. 31 years later, a new lineup of the band is about to release a brand new record called Brainwashed Generation, and the founder, writer, bassist, and now singer of the band, Chip Zanuff, is here to talk about it. Welcome, Chip.
Good afternoon, Jeff. How are you today?
Doing great. Pleasure to have you on here.
Lovely. Thank you.
Now, the new record, Brainwashed Generation, comes out only 2 years since your last release, Diamond Boy. And that record really seemed to put a renewed focus on the band. You got great reviews. You did a high-profile tour. Were you surprised at the reaction, considering it was the first time you handled the vocals and the first new record from the band in a while?
Certainly surprised, but we just finished a tour at that time with Ace Frehley. We were out on the road with him for, I think we did like 30 shows with him. Everywhere we could play, to every house of blues, belly up in San Diego, working our way around the country. It's all big theaters where he sold out everywhere, Mercury Lounge and the Paramount Theater, the Wiltern Theater. We hit them all. I'll tell you that they really had us going. And as soon as we finished up that tour with Ace Frehley, I think they gave us a renewed confidence. We went right back in the studio, started recording the record. And I remember sitting talking with my wife saying, boy, wouldn't it be great if we could just a little spark would happen on this record where we can get one of the publications to talk about us, or maybe go on Stern or do a big TV show. And they all happened. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Got it all. The record came out. Billboard broke the top 200 at 152. We got another tour going out with Live Nation, putting together the Great White Enough's Enough Bullet Boy Tour.
Yep.
And then before you know it, we're back to the scene again. We're doing TV shows. We're doing all the radio stations. From there, it just bloomed and blossomed for us and gave us a lot of confidence as a band, Enough's Enough, to go back out there and take the world by storm. And we didn't just focus on Enough's Enough tour in the United States. As soon as we finished up those Live Nation tours, whether it was with Ace Frehley or Great White, we'd go immediately over to Europe and we'd headline and do shows out there, or we'd open for certain artists that we were playing festival dates. Mm-hmm. And I think that without stopping and taking breaks, that's the common denominator. When bands don't play for 3-4 years and just stay out of the spotlight, then they come back, sometimes it hurts you a little bit because we're at a time where there's too much product, not enough demand. So
right.
My advice to any musicians out there, and the big boys know this too, you got to get out there and you got to keep working.
Mm-hmm. And now, because that tour went so well and because Diamond Boy was so well received, when it came time to start writing and recording Brainwashed Generation, did you feel like an extra pressure on you? You know, did you feel like, okay, you know, now that we're back, I got to keep this going with the new record?
I don't know. I feel pressure every day on stuff like this, okay? Because mm-hmm. you just want to put your best foot forward. You want to write these songs, and you want them to be where they catch on, where people, you know, they embrace them and understand them and turn them into their own. That's what great music is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So and there's always pressure for any artist that says there's no pressure, I think they're exaggerating a little bit. I think every record you want to try to top your last release. I think on this record right here, I knew that there was going to be a focus and a spotlight on the band now that I'm the front man. And mm-hmm. I was willing to take that chance. And when I started recording these songs back in November of last year, I was just looking at the landscape of what's happening in the world. It wasn't really autobiographical, where in the past we write songs about our substance abuse and promiscuity. It was more about just putting a record out and maybe talking about what's happening in the world, hence the title, Brainwashed Generation, which is nowadays it comes out to be quite profound. And what generation? Could be any, my generation, maybe our parents' generation, maybe the new generation. But it reminds me of something The Who would come out with, you know. It's very provocative. Mm-hmm. And the songs, you just listen to them. There's so much fodder out there in the world. I think I grabbed onto some pretty good stories. I hope I told them well. And the landscape around the stories that I put together were played with great musicians. You know, guys like Cheap Trick, Mike Portnoy from Greek Theater on the record. That's an honor right there. Steve Ramone's Freely, et cetera. The list goes on. My brother Donnie coming back to sing on a song on the new record. I think that's it's a real healing process, and it takes time for all ones to heal. And here we are in the 21st century, and I think in this record right here, we found something that really speaks volumes at the end of the day, showing the best of what Enough's Enough is all about. Good pop songs with a mix with rock, alternative, metal. We were alternative before there was alternative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, you mentioned Donnie coming back, this track Strangers in My Head. I've interviewed Donnie a couple times over the last year or so, and you know, he's had a couple of things to say about the band, but I take it with him being on the record now, you guys have kind of made up a little bit on that?
I never was fighting it. It had nothing to do with me. If you listen to all my interviews, they're pretty much straightforward. It was a rock band, and we've done a lot of things together from the early days, getting signed with Skid Row down in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, making our first album. It comes out, it's gold, hit songs on MTV, doing David Letterman, traveling on the country with Badlands and Mr. Big, Cheap Trick. We're playing with all of them, doing it all. It was great. And, you know, after he got disillusioned by the business, and he had some personal matters he had to take care of, and he quit the band for the third time in 2013 and told me if I want to keep moving forward, it's enough snuff to sing the songs. And I pretty much took his advice, and then years later, after telling everybody that he wasn't happy, that he was grateful that he'd be out of the business and not doing it, just wants to make solo music, he got mad all of a sudden. I wasn't fighting. I wasn't throwing any bait in the water. Mm-hmm. I want him to be happy. So we've had talks. He came over here in his motorcycle a couple weeks ago. He's got a little 750 Kawasaki. He came putting over here with a smoke in his mouth. Looked just like him. Same guy. Beautiful pipes. And we talked about the new record and the song "Strangers in My Head" and how the fans are going to love it, and maybe in the future we'll release some more stuff together. But he's a solo artist now, and he's a wonderful singer songwriter, one of the best out there. And I'm carrying on the name that him and I had for a long time.
And that's just what I was going to ask. I mean, do you see the two of you collaborating on, you know, in the future, whether it's Enough's Enough or whether it's, you know, his solo or your solo? I mean, do you see that this sort of being a continuing partnership again?
Well, we certainly weren't fighting like some of the other bands that were releasing a lot of the band, like, you know, for instance, Journey or Spitters. There's a little dissension right there, and rightly so, those bands have sold, you know, 30, 40, 50 million records. We didn't have that problem, or perhaps we'd be crossing that bridge. But I think that we'll always love each other, and our contributions to what we put in the music industry together as a team are very well documented. Mm-hmm. People seem to like them, and I know all the stars and musicians around the country. When I see them on the road, it's nothing but hugs and kisses. Those guys are very respectful of our legacy. So can we cross paths again? Of course. You know, those early days, we did a lot of hard work. It was just Donnie and I in the studio in my bedroom recording those 4 and 8-track Prospex machines, putting all these songs down, and hundreds of them. We just kept recording. And it was just nobody else but him and I doing all the parts ourselves. And we worked it up to where we actually got it to where we found a record company, Natco Atlantic Records. We found Derek Shulman, a wonderful president who knows about songs. He used to be in a band called General Giant, who was running a big major label at the time. And found Doc McGee, great manager, who was believed in the band and helped us out, getting us back and putting us in the business. And he's helping to get us a record deal at that, though, and helping with that first album. The most success I've throughout my career is with Derek Shulman and, of course, Doc McGee. Doc McGee. We had a gold record on that first Enough Snuff album. Mm-hmm. The Hits New Thing and Fly on the Shell. And we had a lot of help from guys like Rick Grimm over at MTV and David Letterman. And those were good moments right there. Really set the tone for us. And we were touted as being the next big thing. And just don't take anything for granted in this business. For any new bands that are out there and stuff, just keep your nose to the grindstone. Keep working. Don't worry about obtaining success and being the biggest band in the world, because that could haunt you. And it did for us for the longest time, because We really thought that we had what it takes to be the biggest band in the world. No band puts together a group to and gears it up for failure. When we came out of the box, we said, man, this is going to be huge. We're going to be as big as you too. We had no idea that it takes a lot of work and a lot of breaks to make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, you could be the best band in the world, but if you don't have the luck and the breaks sometimes, it doesn't happen.
Yeah. We could do a whole program on bands that didn't make it that I thought were fantastic. They should have been huge. And bands that came out with records that everybody goes, nothing. It's okay. They bombed. And then guess what? They're classics now, like Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys or King's X, the first album. It was fantastic. Are you kidding me? Those guys are great. And the list goes on and on, Electric Boys and Dan Reed Network. And what about Jellyfish? Those bands should have been massive.
Yeah, I love Jellyfish. Roger Manning's such a great talent.
Yeah, all of them are. That was a really great team right there. And there's still bands that are coming out nowadays. Called Star Riders, they're really good. New band, they used to be called Fuzz Bubble. God bless me.
And it's interesting. When you talk about the early days of the band, the new lineup actually has a new guitar player, Alex Kane, who goes back to your early days.
He's the original guitar player.
How'd he come full circle and get back in the band now?
Trial and error. We went on the road. We did another tour. And then my guitar player, Tony Fennell, the formerly singer of Ultravox, wonderful talent. He now sings in a band called One in Rome, was going to take a break. And I thought, well, how am I going to replace him? The guy's an unbelievable singer, songwriter, producer. And I said, well, maybe I'll just go back to the old well and grab the original guitar player who quit the band before we had a record deal. Derek Frigo took Alex Kane's place in Enough's Enough while we were making that first album. A lot of that stuff you hear, a lot of those little guitar parts and stuff, that was stuff that Alex created. And he left the band to put together Life, Sex, and Death. And then we just took over, got Derek Frigo in the band, and the rest, as you would say, is history. So I thought it was only fitting to have a couple of the original guys of Enough's Enough in there would help elevate our perception as a band. And then, of course, I also have Steve Ramone playing guitar, who's one of the Ramones. And when Alex can't come out on tour, he's got other commitments, I'll have Steve Ramone fill in and play guitar. And he's playing on a couple songs on this new album as well.
Oh, great. And, again, we were talking a little bit about how, you guys were really touted as the next big thing, and you had the songs, you had the talent. Do you think that sort of being lumped in with that L.A. scene, even though you were more musically aligned with bands like Cheap Trick or the Raspberries, ended up hurting you when that scene kind of went away?
I don't know if I could say the word hurting, because I wouldn't be around right now if it hurt us that bad. Right. I wouldn't be surviving. But definitely threw a monkey in the wrench of what we were trying to do as a band, for lack of a better term. We found ourselves with a propensity to get in trouble at any single moment. That was the problem with Enough's Enough. And it was a real rock band at the end of the day. We always wore our influences probably on our sleeve. And it was no different when we came out with this on our second record on Strength, which was highly touted to be huge. And then all of a sudden there was a change in the guard in the music business, where you had Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, Mudhoney, all that great stuff that came out. And those are bands I love, by the way. But all those groups came out with stuff, Soundgarden, and everybody, a lot of the bands that were out with that had long hair and loved women were pushed to the side, and the new bands with the flannel shirts and the boots and shorts took over. But for the strong ones out there, the ones that were resilient, they stuck it out. We kept playing. We were still out. I remember using the Nirvana's tour bus. They would lease buses back then. And all the bands would share them, and everybody goes, oh, yeah, Butthole Surfers had that bus last month. Or, hey, Nirvana had that bus. Or that was a Cheap Trick bus. And we would call it that, too. We would go on a tour. And then we'd have bands come. People would come on. Hey, you want to come on the old Cheap Trick bus? $10. And they'd come on the bus and hang out with us for, a couple hours just drinking loudmouth soup and smoking pot. But those days have changed now, and it's much different. On the last tours I've done, Enough Stuff has been out in the van. We're out there freely. We had all our equipment in the van, all our suitcases, and we set up every single day. We had one guy in the crew that was it. no crews, no sound guy. We have to work out a deal with the sound guy and the monitor guy and the lighting engineer just to get people to help us. But because of the name Enough's Enough and because of our songs, we were able to get these big leaguers to come help us around. Wonderful crew guys all around the country that would take time out. And they knew about our problems. They knew about the stuff. They heard about all the stories about all our promiscuous ways and all of our substance abuse problems with different musicians and bands that we would go out and hang out with and be disappear for a week at a time where nobody could find us. And they forget. It was forgiven. It was just, that's part of our fabric as a band. You know, this is not a milk and cookies group. We aren't. What did Bunny Carlos say to me one day? He goes, "Well, one thing about Enough Snuff, you guys certainly aren't homogenized." And he's absolutely, he's right.
Yeah,
and we've always went out there and we've always been respectful to the fans, that's for sure. But the shows, you don't know what you're going to expect at those concerts because we weren't always 100%. I think nowadays, Enough's Enough is solid as a rock. We've gotten over three or four major tours in the last few years. Well, we've done 100 shows plus a year. We travel around the country with all the big bands. Whoever will take us on there, we'll do festival dates, whether it's with Dokken, L.A. Guns, going out with Vince Neil and playing shows. It doesn't. I love Tom Kiefer. He's great. You know, there's so many guys that have taken us out and let us play gigs with them and shared their audience with us. I'm appreciative of that. You know, we give you a great show. We go out there every single night. We're one of the best support bands that you'll ever go see in concerts. I don't want to sound immodest, but I was just reading a book the other day, and it was about Rush going out on tour. Now, they opened for everybody.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing Rush playing opening for Kiss, but they would open for Marshall Tucker Band, Crack the Sky. It didn't matter who it was. Rush would take every single gig that there was out there and reach different audiences. And that's the template I'm using for Enough's Enough right now.
And, you know, speaking of touring and all that, I mean, Brainwashed Generation comes out July 10th. You guys were able to play some Australian dates early this year, you know, around the Melodic Rock Fest that kind of melted down itself. But it looks like most of 2020 is going to be canceled touring-wise. Have you started kind of putting a plan in place to keep the momentum going? Did you think about delaying the release of the record, any stuff like that?
Yeah, I tried to. I called Nick Teeter, who was like the E.F. Hutton of the record business, and Nick works over at the Great Frontiers record. And I said, "Nick, shouldn't we hold the record back right now until this is all cleared up?" He says, "No, Chip, this is the best time to put it out." And I'm not going to argue with this guy who's been in the game for 30 years and worked with the biggest bands in the world. He's a friend of mine, but he's also a business partner. And he thinks right now is the time to put it out there. And he goes, "What do you got planned?" I said, "Well, we'll put a video out in conjunction with the record. That'll be great. And then on July 11th, we'll go out and we'll do the Monsters of Rock Cruise streaming show. It reaches thousands, tens of thousands of people. Larry Moran puts it all together every single year. We all know Larry Moran. He's the guy who puts together the Monsters of Rock Cruises. And, you know, he's like a little leprechaun counting $100 bills. He knows exactly what he's doing. So I think LA Guns just finished doing one. I think Cheap Trick's doing one. I see the Metallica doing one along with the Foo Fighters. A lot of big bands are doing these live streaming shows. So we're gonna do that too. So we're gonna kick off the album July 11th. It comes out July 10th. The Enough Snuff Brainwash Generation record on July 11th. The next day, go to monstersofrockcruise.com and you'll get the streaming right there to tell you exactly what's going on with the show. We'll be playing a live concert there, and then obviously we're not lazy because we're putting a record out. It's right in the middle of this whole rigmarole that we're dealing with as a country, worldwide, as a matter of fact, but I think we're flattening the curve and we're going to get better and things are going to work out well for the people because this is a resilient country. I'm going out in August. I got three or four dates playing some outdoor festivals with people like Dokken and Autograph and LA Guns. And then in September, that's when the tour starts, September 6th. It's called the 2020 Quarantine Tour. And Enough Snuff is going out with Faster Pussycat. Remember Faster Pussycat?
Oh, nice. That's going to be a great lineup.
Yeah, so you got Tie Me Down out there. And those guys have done a Brinks truck full of drugs and done way more more trim than we have. And guess what? They're still going strong. Tammy's been straight for 4 or 5 years. Hasn't had a cigarette. Hasn't done any drinking. No more loudmouth soup. No more blow. He's singing and playing better than ever. Looks terrific. I just seen him on the Monster Rock Cruise. He was great with Extreme. And Tesla, they were all fabulous. And we have a 2.5-month tour. We have 48 dates booked right now through Selling Them Big and Artists Worldwide. And we're taking it where I think the people are starving for rock and roll, heavy metal. If you can't go to the stadium tour to see Motley Crue and Poison and Def Leppard, along with Joan Jett and that Tuck Smith guy who paid $300,000 to get on the tour, then you're going to find yourself at $200 a ticket, okay, to go to those shows. And you can come out and see the Quarantine tour with Faster Pussycat, Enough Snuff, and a special guest, and it probably cost $20-$30. It's bands that have done the same thing those bands have done. Not saying we're as big as those bands, but we've had the hits on MTV. We travel around the country. We've done everything they've done. And one thing we do as good as those other bands, we know how to party. And it's going to be a great time at every single show. Those shows, I guarantee you, will be jam-packed because people are sick of being handcuffed and sequestered in their houses. And it's time to open up the world a little bit and get back to what we all love, and that's hard rock and heavy metal.
That's exciting. You know, I was supposed to catch you guys in August at a festival here in Mass. So hopefully I'll be able to catch one of these dates or even the tour as it continues on into 2021.
But there's a lot of touring going on next year. It's going to be absolutely crazy, my friend. Because I talked to my buddy at Live Nation. He says everyone's going to be going on tour next year. That stadium tour, Motley Crue and Def Leppard. Mm-hmm. And then what about that tour with Rod Stewart and Cheap Trick? That's going to be great. Yep. I think there's another band on that too, if I'm not mistaken. You know, Blackberry Smoke maybe or somebody. There's going to be some big shows next year. Everybody's going to be touring around the country. Steel Panther guys and Sebastian Bach. Mm-hmm. Journey's putting another record out. You look out there in the history of rock and roll, you're not going to stop any of these bands. We're all going to go out there no matter what and play shows. How they're going to be put together, that's another thing I don't know. Because when you get 20, 30, 40,000 people in a room, it's tough. And perhaps we should call the concerts protests. Then you won't get in any trouble. We'll just, you know, free music and food.
Well, again, the record's Brainwashed Generation, band's Enough's Enough. It's out July 10th. It's a great record. A lot of strong songs. Chip, you do an amazing job singing, and it's good to hear the track with Donnie. So,
he's singing his ass off.
Everyone takes a look.
Thanks, Jeff.
Frontiers has physical copies available on CD. It'll be available streaming everywhere. Check it out, Chip, my friend. Thank you so much. I can't wait till we talk again and get to say hello in person on the road.
Hey, a real quick shout-out to our military, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, even the good cops out there. There's some great, great people, our doctors, our first responders, our surgeons. A shout out everybody out there. Real important to keep things moving forward. Have faith. There's better things coming in this world for all of us. And I hope to see everybody at the Live Nation. Well, it's not the Live Nation, but the 2020 Quarantine Tour of Faster Pussycat in September. And thanks for your love. Oh, one more time, Jeffrey. Yeah. I want to make sure that I monstersofrockcruise.com. You'll see the live streaming July 11th. Enough's Enough live streaming show to Monsters of Rock Cruise. Thanks, Jeff.
Looking forward to it, Chip. Thank you, my friend.
All right, brother.
Talk to you soon.
Cheers.
Bye.